Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, host of the program, but more importantly, a father of five, defending faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century, where we're seeing a massive increase in the size of government, a decrease in the number of freedoms we enjoy compared to what we enjoyed back in the 1900s and 1800s, and, of course, the breakdown of the family and morality. And during the breakdown of civilizations and empires, it's nice to have a few commentators out there on the front row explaining what's going on to the rest of us. And I'm not the only guy doing this. Ann Coulter's been commenting on this for a long time in her sardonic way. And she is a modern-day Jael. Remember, Jael pounded hard nails through the temples of the enemy general in the Book of Judges. Well, that's pretty much what Ann Coulter does from time to time. And she does apply a little irony from time to time, too. But I think that's appropriate. When the liberals are out there destroying our freedoms, destroying our families, destroying the faith, destroying America as we once knew it. And thankfully, there's somebody out there who's commenting on this birth imploding liberal agenda that's destroying the right to life, it is destroying the respect for life, destroying the character of the nation, undermining the nation in all kinds of ways. It's nice to have the jails pounding the nails. Now, remember, Augustine was doing this at the fall of the Roman Empire. This is what the City of God is all about. About a third of the book is sarcastic, heavy, heavy sarcasm and irony as he stands up against the gods of the Greeks and the Romans and said, see what you guys did to your empires? See what you did when you built these things on the wrong foundations, the wrong ideas? And he is as sarcastic as the day is long. Much like Elijah, the prophet, who against the 850 prophets of Baal, stood up and made a lot of sarcastic comments about these chest-beating high priests of liberalism back in the days of King Ahab. Well, that's pretty much what our modern-day Jael is doing today, Ann Coulter. But she is not appreciated very much by the liberals. Pretty much tossed out of Canada on her ear. She says, since arriving in Canada, I've been accused of thought crimes, threatened with criminal prosecution for speeches I hadn't yet given, and denounced on the floor of Parliament, which was nice because that was on my bucket list. Posters advertising my speech have been officially banned, while posters denouncing me are plastered all over the University of Ottawa campus. Elected officials have been prohibited from attending my speeches. Also, the local clothing stores are fresh out of brown shirts. The provost of the University of Ottawa, average student IQ zero, wrote to me, widely disseminating his letter to at least a half a dozen intermediaries before it reached me, in advance of my visit, in order to recommend that I familiarize myself with Canada's criminal laws regarding hate speech. This marks the first time I've ever gotten hate mail for something I might do in the future. Apparently, Canadian law forbids promoting hatred against any identifiable group, which the provost advised me would not only be considered inappropriate, but could in fact lead to criminal charges. While it was a relief to know that it is still permissible in Canada to promote hatred against unidentifiable groups, upon reading Frank Hoss's letter, I suddenly realized that I had just been the victim of a hate crime, and it was committed by Francois A. Houle. And then she goes on to say, I'm sure Canada's Human Rights Commission will get to the bottom of this strange warning to me, and as much as I will be filling a complaint with that august body, so I expect they will be reviewing every letter the university has sent to other speakers prior to their speeches to see if any of them were threatened with criminal prosecution. Both writer Mark Stein and the editor Ezra Levant have been investigated by the Human Rights Commission for promoting hatred towards Muslims. Levant's alleged crime was to reprint the cartoons of Muhammad originally published in a Danish newspaper, leading practitioners of the religion of peace to engage in murderous violence across the globe. Stein's alleged crime was to publish an excerpt of his book America Alone in McLean's magazine, in which he jauntily described Muslims as hot for jihad. Both of them, Mark Stein and Ezra Levant, also flew jet airliners full of passengers into skyscrapers in Lower Manhattan, resulting in thousands of deaths. Oh, no, wait, that was somebody else. I think that was the other peaceful religion. Was it the Amish, I think? Anyway, one of those peaceful religions. By contrast, conservative speakers are regularly subjected to violent attacks on college campuses. Bill Kristol, Pat Buchanan, David Horowitz, and I have all been the targets of infamous campus attacks. That's why the Claire Booth Loose Policy Institute, a sponsor of my Canada speeches and the Young Americas Foundation, don't send conservatives to college campuses without a bodyguard. The Ottawa University Student Federation also met for 7.5 hours to hammer out a series of resolutions denouncing me. The resolutions include, whereas Ann Coulter is a hateful woman, whereas she has made hateful comments about Muslim Jews, women, whereas she violates an unwritten law code of positive space, be it resolved that the student union expresses its disapproval of having Ann Coulter speak at the University of Ottawa. After Tuesday night, the hatred incited by the letter is no longer theoretical. The police called off my speech when the auditorium was surrounded by thousands of rioting liberals screaming, blocking the entrance, throwing tables, demanding my books be burned, and finally setting off the fire alarm. I've given more than 100 college speeches, and not once has one of my speeches been shut down at any point. Even the pie-throwing incident at the University of Arizona didn't break up the event. I just said, get them, and the college Republicans got them, and then I continue with my rambling, hate-filled diatribe. I mean my speech. If a university official's letter accusing a speaker of having a proclivity to commit speech crimes before she's given the speech, which then leads to Facebook postings demanding that Ann Coulter be hurt, a massive riot, and a police-ordered cancellation of the speech is not hate speech, then there is no such thing as hate speech. Well, folks, a little bit of flack for Ann Coulter. Not unusual in this business. Not unusual at all. The fact of the matter is, folks, I think we're losing our freedoms. We're losing our freedoms. When the bad guys rule, the people mourn. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. That's the book of Proverbs. And, of course, we're defining righteousness, righteous people, by the laws of God, not by Karl Marx, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, or the high priest of the university systems. No. We define it by the laws of God. And so when the wicked rule, they're going to curtail the freedom of speech. When the wicked rule, they're going to curtail family freedoms. When the wicked rule, they're going to curtail church freedoms. The bad guys persecute the good guys. This is what happens when they gain a little power. And unfortunately, the bad guys, those who do not believe in biblical principles of life, liberty, property, that sort of thing, the bad guys who have all of this power are going to persecute you if you are a good guy. Welcome to our world, friends. The bad guys are in authority, and the people will mourn. That's just the way it works in the modern world. And of course, they've taken over almost every nation, including to a great extent our own. Now, thankfully, there are a few more Christians that are in power today in America than there are in Canada. I mean, thankfully, we have a little bit more of an edge here than Canada, England, Germany, or other nations around the world. I mean, Christians, the good guys, the righteous ones, the ones who stand on the laws of God, as communicated the Old and New Testaments, and my guess is there may be a few Jews out there that still define law by God's law. If that be the case, then there will be, hopefully, some of these Christians making their ways into politics, and when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. It's just kind of the way it works. But when the bad guys persecute the good guys, they tend to do so in two areas. In terms of family freedoms and in terms of church freedoms. And we talked a little bit about the curtailing of a freedom to speak. But sometimes you have tyrants who take away family freedoms. Sometimes you have tyrants who take away church freedoms. Now, typically we see persecution as those who take away church freedoms. That is, they don't allow you to meet on Sundays. Now, I'm not sure that the Roman tyrants ever punished their citizens for homeschooling, that is, for family freedoms. They didn't have compulsory attendance laws back then, as they do in the massively tyrannical modern nation states. Now, personally, I think that family freedoms are even a little more basic than church freedoms. That's because family freedoms involve Monday through Saturday freedoms. And the state, of course, wants to indoctrinate your children Monday through Saturday. They'll let you have them on Sunday, but not Monday through Saturday. Church freedoms tend to be only Sunday freedoms, the right to collect and as a group on a Sunday and hear perhaps a message from God's Word for half an hour or an hour, or if you're in the average evangelical church, 7 minutes. But church freedoms are important, yes. I believe they're important. I'm just not sure that nations that deny family freedoms, like Germany, that has outlawed homeschooling because they take their compulsory attendance law, which, by the way, started in Germany under the philosophy of a guy named Fichte, and eventually worked its way out into the first compulsory attendance laws anywhere in the modern world in the nation of Germany some 180 years ago. Well, folks, unfortunately, Germany continues to be a nation that curtails family freedoms. They don't allow people to homeschool their children according to their own consciences. The state wants the children, and they will have the children. Well, is Germany any worse than China or the old Soviet Union or the Muslim states who deny the right to assemble on a Sunday to hear the Word of God preached? I'm not sure, because the modern nations, like America, well, certainly nations like Germany and Brazil, not so much America because we still have some family freedoms left here. But unfortunately, nations like Germany, I believe, in some cases are worse than some Muslim states because of the persecution they're bringing down upon the family. In just a moment, we're going to talk about the homeschoolers who escaped Germany and sought U.S. asylum, but now they're facing deportation thanks to more tyranny in the American government. We'll be back in just a moment. Some shocking, shocking stuff of what's happening in America as American agencies are looking at persecuting families in the area of family freedom. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with me.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Today we want to talk about what I believe to be a very important issue, and that is the freedom to homeschool internationally. Now, the German government has made it very, very difficult for homeschoolers to survive there. They've been fined. They've been threatened with jail time. The children have been tossed in psychiatric hospitals. And now the Remeika family has tried to achieve asylum here in the United States. And we've covered that story a number of times. In fact, I think we did interview the Remeika family on this program about 6 to 9 months ago. But now new developments in that story. And I'm bringing Mike Donnelly from Homeschool Legal Defense Association back onto the program, attorney for that fine organization. Mike, welcome back to the Generations Broadcast, my friend.
Kevin, it's always great to be with you and your listeners.
You know, Mike, for a while there, I thought the Remeika family might have U.S. asylum. They had a favorable judgment on the part of a judge in one of the circuit courts or one of the courts, and I thought that we may see asylum for this German family facing persecution in Germany for homeschooling their kids.
Well, we did. They did win. We won the case. The judge granted asylum. It was an excellent opinion in which the judge recognized that the family was being denied basic human rights and that what Germany was doing to homeschoolers was repellent to everything that we believe as Americans. The government, however, apparently has a different take on it. Our government, the United States government, is appealing the judge's ruling. And we're very concerned about this, not that we're surprised, but we are, we're concerned about it. Of course, it had been better for the family if they could just stay here without any further litigation. You never know what's going to happen when you take a case up on appeal. In this case, we're taking it up to the Board of Immigration Appeals, which is a national immigration appeals board located in Virginia. And after that, if we have to, we'll take it up to the circuit courts.
Okay.
The immigration courts are an administrative law court under the executive branch administered by the Homeland Security Department and the Immigration Customs and Enforcement Division.
Yes. So it's the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency that appealed the case. So this ICE organization was not happy with the judge's ruling that would have granted asylum to this German family.
I don't see any other way to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons are just astounding. As I read the press release from Homeschool Legal Defense Association and the WorldNet Daily stories, I was amazed. These guys don't really respect homeschooling. ICE sought application that the public education laws of Germany do not violate basic human rights. They were applying to the Conrad case in the European Court of Human Rights in order to make their case, which means international law is driving these guys, not an American concept of freedom. And they're not driven by American law. They're not driven by American values. They're driven by international court rulings.
Well, Kevin, you know, as we've heard some other people say, elections have consequences.
Yeah.
And the people who have been placed in these positions obviously have a different philosophy than we do. Mm. They indeed have reached for some pretty scary arguments here when they talk about how U.S. law has been broadly interpreted to allow the government to, quote, prohibit or regulate homeschooling.
Yeah.
As well as the U.S. law having recognized the broad power of the state to compel school attendance, regulate curriculum, and teacher certification.
Yeah.
Homeschooling is legal in all 50 states in America, but the things that are in this opinion make me think that there are some people in our society and in the administration who maybe have some other ideas about it.
Here it also says, IC argued that the U.S. government could simply ban all homeschooling, and that should disqualify the granting of asylum. In other words, in the future, sometime, you know, we may wind up with a communistic, socialistic, fascist state in which family freedoms do not exist at all in this country. And for that reason, why in the world do we ever want to give asylum to a German family facing the same kind of persecution and abolition of rights out in Germany?
Well, that's the argument, one of the arguments anyway. They make a number of arguments here, including that homeschoolers as a group are too amorphous to be a particular social group.
Mm-hmm.
I think homeschoolers are quite identifiable. We have some very identifiable characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. These people are arguing that because, American law seems to suggest that the state has the power to, prohibit or regulate homeschooling however it chooses, that somehow we shouldn't be granting asylum to people in other countries. You know, the thing that concerned me, among other things here, Kevin, was the fact that these immigration lawyers say that what's happening to German homeschoolers is merely prosecution and not persecution.
Yeah.
The things that you talked about earlier in the program, the fines of 50,000 plus euros, which is like $75,000,
mm-hmm.
jail time, taking away children, effectively forcing these families to make a decision between their homeland and homeschooling. They're having to leave Germany in order to pursue something that here in the United States, and some of us take it for granted a little bit, I'm afraid, and we need to make sure that we're staying vigilant and prepared to fight against this kind of statist philosophy that's contained within this government appeal.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that we may still win this case. I mean, this isn't over yet.
Oh, it's not at all over. We have a long way to go. Hopefully not that long. Hopefully we'll win it. By God's grace and with his help at the Board of Immigration Appeal. If we don't, we'll go to the Sixth Circuit Court. If we have to, we'll go to the Supreme Court. We certainly don't want to do that if we don't have to. But we will continue to be representing this family, this wonderful family, regular homeschool family, just like your family or my family, simply wanting to be free to educate their children at home, something that is not, that crazy of an idea, although to some people they are scared by that. Germany, they have this philosophy of we can't have parallel societies. We have to have everybody in the school system. In fact, there's an article that quotes the head of the Berlin Ministry of Education, where he says schools are a place where there should be a peaceful dialogue between different opinions, values, religions, and ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's a training ground for social tolerance. Therefore, homeschooling is not an option for Germany.
Mm.
Excuse me, that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
First of all, a school is a place for children to learn academics. It's not a social laboratory.
Mm.
But in Germany, they see it as a social laboratory, and that's why they want children to be forced into being indoctrinated into the values of the German state. Secondly, they see it as a training ground for social tolerance, and they say, therefore, homeschooling is not an option for Germany. Well, social tolerance is a term that I'm a little bit uncomfortable with because you can define that any way you want. But the reality is that homeschoolers are not a group of people that any society should be afraid of. In fact, It's a group of people that should be encouraged and recognized for the very serious task that they're performing, saving lots of money for the government as well as producing outstanding citizens.
And I think we need to say that after 200-300 years of the compulsory attendance law and the rise of the modern socialist state, the integrity of the family, the solidarity of the family, freedoms for the family is really the final battle line against total government in the modern world. And there are a few brave families still fighting that battle. That's a good thing. And it's happening here. And I think we are turning this battle into an international conflict, which is all right, I think, because, you know, if freedom for the family is going to survive anywhere in the world, I hope it will survive here, and maybe America will remain the land of the free and the home of the brave, and that Statue of Liberty will still mean something in the harbor of New York City. So, you know, again, we're fighting a basic battle for freedom, and if we can sustain this asylum for this German family, then I think we have launched the flag. On Suribachi on this thing, we have established for the freedom for the family, freedom to homeschool, as a basic freedom that's worth fighting for.
Well, we think that it is a basic freedom. It's a fundamental human right. It certainly is a fundamental right here in the United States, although if you look at Supreme Court opinions and the way state governments are acting, you could question that. And that's why we think it's important, and I think that you agree that we need to do something about that. And we support amending the Constitution of the United States to actually recognize that parents' rights are fundamental in the black and white text of the Constitution, so that we won't have to continue these battles, or at least we'll have a fundamental right explicit in the Constitution, which does mean something, instead of having lower courts do whatever they want to do, which is what they're doing right now in light of the Supreme Court's recent decisions, which seems to have weakened a little bit in terms of their view of parents' rights. And so if we care about the courts, we've got to take some action, democratic action here that's left to us, to place these important freedoms into our, most fundamental document.
I'm guessing this entire issue is a controversial issue right up to the State Department. I'm not sure Hillary Clinton or the entire U.S. government would want to define Germany as a persecuting state on the basis of the fact that they have persecuted homeschoolers in that country. But if we can win this in the courts, it's going to be a big one for us, I think.
Well, I think so. You know, Judge Berman, God bless him, he planted a flag and said that, no, this is the right thing to do. We need to give a protection to this family because of what the German state was doing to this family. And, you know, good for him, and shame on this administration for appealing this decision. This was a good decision. Yeah. It should not have been appealed. I'm sure I can guess at what their policy reasons are, and there's policy reasons, and then there's other reasons.
Yeah.
But the reality is it was a good decision. They should have left it alone. But you know what? God's in control. He has greater purposes for this case, and we're just going to follow that faithfully and see where it takes us and do our very best to win for this family and also to, win for other families, because if we win at the Board of Immigration Appeals, Kevin, this becomes precedent
for
the whole country.
Yes, yes. This is
it could actually end up helping a lot of other people, not just from Germany, but from other places.
And it's Homeschooling and Defense Association that are sending attorneys into this battle, right? I mean, you guys are involved.
This is our case.
This is your case, okay.
This is our case. We're representing the family. We've got a team of attorneys working on it. And we're getting, getting help from other organizations, of course, and we're going to, we welcome the assistance of other organizations who are interested and have expertise in immigration law. But, this is an important fight. And we've been involved with the German situation for a long time. And this is really, it's really encouraging to see what this case has done. It has started a national dialogue in Germany. And I actually have hopes that there will be freedom in Germany at some point in the future with the laws being changed.
Yeah.
It probably won't be as free as it is here, but at least people won't have to flee their country or be concerned about losing their children from the Jugendamt, without any warning than just showing up and taking their kids because they're homeschooling, which has happened.
Well, I thank God for Homeschool Legal Defense Association and all that you have been doing, Mike. And what can folks do to support you in this? Is there something that we can be doing to just get behind this poor German family that's been going through so much?
Well, Kim, that's a good question. Number one, I think we just ask people to pray for the family, pray for, wisdom for the attorneys, and pray that God would move in the hearts of the civil magistrates who are going to be seeing this case, number one. Number two, if folks are members of HSLDA, they can feel good that they're supporting an organization that is doing this. If they're not members, They can become members and join with us to support what we're doing here. And not only will they benefit by doing that, but they could potentially benefit themselves.
And don't underestimate that what can be done through these court appeals and through the sovereign hand of God oversees these things. You guys have won a lot of cases, and homeschooling is free in all 50 states around the country, largely because of the involvement of HSLDA and, of course, the overriding hand of a sovereign God who is out there helping you every single day in what you're doing.
Amen. Amen. So, those are the things that people can do. You know, the other thing I would say, Kevin, is this. If people have a burden for these kinds of people who are seeking to find freedom here in America, there are other families who would like to come here. In fact, I've been contacted by a number of families, and we're going to need help. We simply do not have the resources. We cannot house the families here, you know, in our building. We need people who are interested in stepping out in faith and lending a hand to these people who might want to come across the ocean and seek asylum just like the Romikas have. So if there are people who are listening and they're interested in maybe getting involved that way, they can contact us. And this is the first time I've kind of mentioned that to anybody, but that would be one other way people could help.
And, Mike, I think a couple of people have contacted me in the last couple of weeks as we have mentioned these things in talks and so forth. So I'm going to collect some names and send them off to you. And, again, folks, if you want to get involved in any of this, go ahead and email myself or email HSLDA through the contact information at hslda.org and get involved in this very, very important issue, I believe, in defending family freedoms and hopefully providing families with more asylum in the years to come. Well, Mike, again, thanks so much for joining us on Generations. We appreciate you. God bless Homeschool Legal Defense Association.
Thank you, Kevin. You too.
Well, folks, this is an important battle. I believe it is the defining battle of the 21st century. Back in the 1600s and 1700s, we were battling for freedom for the church from the imposition of the state powers. Now, we're fighting for the integrity, the solidarity, and the freedom of the family as a sphere in the 21st century. This is our battle. This will define freedom. And anybody who fights this battle will be on the forefront of the age-old battle of freedom in the 21st century. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for freedom for the next generation.